Hey, everybody, Patrick Connor here, and welcome back to Knuckles and Gloves Boxing Radio. I'm here, the special edition of the show with Otto Wallin. Otto, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course, for anybody who is unaware, they should be aware by now. U.S. boxing fans should be well aware, but top heavyweight from Sweden, and you will be challenging Dillian White on October 30th at O2 Arena in London. How, I mean, it's a generic question, but how is everything going in the preparation for that?
It's going good. I've been training since my last fight. That was in February. So I was expecting to fight July, and then it kept getting pushed back. And then finally we got this fight. So I've been training, I'm doing good. And, you know, we're sparring now and everything's going well.
It takes some patience to be preparing for fights and kind of being on the cusp of fights and stuff like that and having them not quite go through. How are you dealing with that?
Yeah, it's been tough this summer, to be honest. The last month, maybe August, that was a tough month for me because, I had expected a fight in July already, and then, you know, I didn't hear anything and I was just training and then, you know, nothing would happen. But I'm happy now that I stayed focused, I stayed disciplined, I stayed in the gym, had a couple of days off, you know, with my girlfriend, but that was pretty much it. And then kept training. And now, like I said, I'm very happy that I kept training because now the fight's here, a big fight. So if I didn't put all that work in, I would be in a much better, worse spot.
Well, October 30th, for people in the U.S., that's the day before Halloween. Do people in Sweden have much interest in celebrating Halloween? And if they do, or do you have any special costumes or anything like that for your ring walk planned?
I haven't thought so much about that yet, but we celebrate in Sweden a little bit. I don't think as much as over here, but we celebrate for sure. When I was younger, I used to go out with my friends, you know, trick-or-treating. So we would rack up some candy. That would be nice. That's how we spent it.
Well, speaking of your childhood and your upbringing and whatnot, I don't want to spend too much time on it. But as far as your background, not a lot of U.S. fans are going to know much about you apart from the Tyson Fury fight. And it's a little bit unfair to just assign your importance to the Tyson Fury fight and what you've done since then. You were definitely an amateur with a whole lot of international experience and a pretty extensive amateur career, but how did you find your way to boxing?
I found my way to boxing through my father, I think, because he was a boxer and he was a trainer later on. Then one of my older brothers, he was boxing as well. So when I was a kid, I used to play ice hockey and soccer and stuff like that. But then when I started high school, I was allowed to start training boxing for my parents. And then, you know, first day I came down there, I just fell in love with it. I just knew that it was for me. It felt, you know, felt very natural for me. And I was really felt like I found home in a way.
So I mentioned your international experience as an amateur. You fought in Latvia, Turkey, Finland, France, UK, Lithuania, Estonia, Germany. I mean, you fought literally all over Europe. How important is that high-level amateur experience? How important is that to you, like in bringing that to the table against fighters like Tyson Fury, like Dillian White?
I think it's important. The amateur fights, you know, they don't mean that much. Like if you take a loss, doesn't really matter. So it's all just racking up experience at that time. But yeah, my plan was to go to the Olympics and then turn pro, but fortunately I was able to turn pro earlier, and I had thought that I was gonna stay amateur for a longer time, but then, you know, one day I got a phone call about turning pro, and for like maybe 6 months I kept saying no to these guys, and the Sauerland brothers, they over in Europe, big promoter over there, so I didn't feel ready. I wanted more experience, but then, you know, I just kept training and kept working. At some point I felt like, hey, maybe it's time to turn pro now, because, you know, I won't have to work anymore. I had a day job before that, and I felt like I was gonna, you know, be able to just focus on boxing and become as good as I could get. So I turned pro when I was 22, and that that turned out to be a good age for me, I think. I think the amateur experience is important, but also not turning pro too late, I think, is good.
You said you had a day job before boxing. What was that day job, and what would you be doing if you weren't a fighter?
Well, if I wasn't a fighter, I don't know. But I had two jobs. When I was younger, I was 15, I started at a hardware store, used to sell woods and stuff like that, you know, build houses and stuff. Then when I was about 18, I started working at a, it's like a prison, but for mentally sick people. So instead of going to prison, they would come to us because they had mental issues. So yeah, I kept working there till I was 22 and when I turned pro.
Well, since losing to Tyson Fury, you have defeated Dominic Brazil and Travis Kaufman. Travis Kaufman's another guy with a whole lot of amateur experience and considered a very decorated amateur on the U.S. scene. But you're 22-1 going in against Dillian White. So going over your record, I was kind of just looking at a couple things, and I noticed that despite being 6'5", you have only fought 6 or 7 times as a pro against fighters that you have outweighed or have been larger than. Is that a product of your conditioning? Is it just that heavyweights are getting bigger and heavier, or is this pure coincidence?
I think that, you know, I'm a very disciplined guy. I'm always training. I don't carry any extra fat or anything. Nothing significant, at least. I'm always on weight. I'm always training. I'm just trying to put everything into my body so I can do the best I can every day. And I'm not a guy that blows up in weight and this and that. You know, I'm very disciplined, and I've had to do that. And that's my way. And I feel like finally, like all the hard work I put in over the years are coming together now. And, you know, I'm finally at this high level.
Just in case Chris Hemsworth bows out as Thor, are you ready to step in the Avengers?
always. Maybe I gotta work on my guns a little more. I don't know.
he's just dehydrating himself. That's all you gotta do. You just gotta dehydrate yourself.
No, right. I think I can do that.
Yeah. Well, you already do for weigh-ins. I think you got it down. Have there been significant differences between your purses before fighting Tyson Fury and since then? I would imagine so.
Yeah, big difference. Before I fought Fury, you know, things wasn't that easy for me. You know, had to save all the money. I'm still saving money, of course, but sometimes I had to borrow money from my parents and stuff like that. So it's been a struggle sometimes, but I feel like it's all been worth it. And now, you know, after the Fury fight, you know, everything's turned around and going well for me. So I'm happy about that. It's been a long road, but I'm happy that it's coming together.
Did your performance against Tyson Fury, now I think from the perspective of American media and American boxing fans and stuff like that, just being candid, many people they weren't aware of who you were. And then the Tyson Fury fight is announced and they're skeptical because it's somebody they don't really know, but you obviously put forth, I guess some of the words that would have been used were spirited, you know, effort and stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is you caught Tyson Fury with a very good punch, cut him up very badly, applied pressure, won clearly a number of rounds. That kind of performance against a fighter of Tyson Fury's caliber, was that like confirmation to you that you do belong on this world-class level?
Yeah, it is. I always believed in myself. My team always believed in me. And I had great support from my family, and they always believed in me also. But I felt with that performance that I, you know, now I'm 100% sure that I can perform at the highest level. And people seeing it. So, you know, before that fight, most people were pretty much just laughing me off and saying that I was going to get knocked out. But now when I'm fighting Dillian White, I think a lot of people is actually giving me a shot here and showing me respect. So, you know, it's good.
Well, and I don't want to just focus too much on the Tyson Fury fight, but I am curious, did you feel like you received support from the Swedish media, from people in Sweden, when you went up against Tyson Fury? Do you feel as though you're receiving support now from your fellow Swedes going in against Dillian White?
Definitely. Yeah. I'm getting great support from Sweden. They were proud of my performance with Fury, and now a lot of people are writing me saying, hey, I like Dillian, but you know, we got you for this fight. You're going to win, and we're proud of you. So it means a lot for me. You know, it means a lot. I really appreciate the support I get from my people and my home country.
Are there any old fighters that you enjoy watching or study footage of, for instance, Ingemar Johansson?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I watched this fight with Floyd Patterson, of course. And he was a huge athlete in Sweden. And that's a huge accomplishment. He became the first heavyweight world champion coming out of Sweden. Still to this day, he's the only world champion, the heavyweight world champion coming from Sweden. So, you know, now 60 years later, hopefully I can become the second one.
Are there any
other? No, yeah. There's other fighters, you know, Badou Jack, he's a multiple world-class world champion from Sweden. We got different guys. So we have some boxing culture. Boxing took a hit there because professional boxing was forbidden for a long time, for 40 years. But, you know, now it's back, and I feel like we just got to keep working because I think boxing has potential over there, and there is interest.
What do you think would take to really get interest going? Like, for instance, if you won a world championship, do you think that would really kickstart interest in Sweden?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I mean, I feel like with all sports, you just need somebody that's good enough. It doesn't matter which sport it is, really. Yes, if you have somebody that's good enough, the sport is going to get big over there. That's how I feel. And, you know, I had that fight with Fury that spiked things up, and now fighting Dillian White and beating him would be great, you know, and then I'd be in line for Fury or whoever is the world champion at that point.
Well, going in against Dillian White, now I don't want you to reveal your game plan and give it all away or anything like that, but obviously you're looking at Dillian White's record and his fights against the likes of Derek Chisora, against Anthony Joshua, and I'm sure that you're looking at those and seeing what those fighters did. Do you feel as though there's any keys that you're looking for in those fights that could kind of unlock the solution, if there is one, against Dillian White?
Yeah, I feel like Dillian White, you know, to me, he's a pretty basic guy, and he's got a decent jab. He's got a good left hook and it's a good body puncher as well. And, you know, he's an aggressive guy, but other than that, I feel like he's pretty basic, and I can say I'm not basic. You know, first of all, I'm a southpaw. I don't know if he's fought any southpaws in his career. I'm not sure. Maybe early on, but nobody really that's on a high level. So I think that's a good thing. I'm a southpaw, and I'm a smart fighter. I got good fast hands and fast feet, which I will have to use. And you know, I don't want to let him be comfortable in there. I want to make it uncomfortable, like I did with Fury. And I think we already got a good game plan. We're still working on it, of course. We're studying him. But I got a good team around me, and I feel like everything's good. And I feel like there's a lot of things that I'm going to take advantage of. And I feel like I'm different than most of the fighters he's faced.
Without looking past Dillian White, because obviously that's the victory that you need to get before doing anything else. But without looking past him, what would you expect to be next, assuming that you got the victory?
Well, in all honesty, they got a rematch on me. So if I beat him, they might exercise that. If they don't...
That was going to be one of my questions. I just wasn't sure if you wanted to answer it, but you already did.
Yeah. So that's one of the things, but doesn't mean I'm locked into him. We'll see what happens. You know, if I beat him, I'm the interim champion. I can maybe go after Fury, because now Joshua, you know, going to have a rematch with Usyk, see how that goes. So things are being shaken up at the moment, and I feel like it's good timing for me.
Well, we just saw, Anthony Joshua defeated by Oleksandr Usyk, and then in a couple weeks, your old foe, Tyson Fury is going to be taking on Deontay Wilder again. It sure seems like with this recent shakeup with Anthony Joshua and then a potential shakeup, whatever the outcome is between Fury and Wilder, that there's a lot of potential opportunities for you to seize control of.
Right. And I actually did an interview yesterday and I kind of forgot about Joshua, that he got beat already. And, you know, things are so fresh and things are really moving now. So nobody really knows what's going to happen.
Well, and there's always the possibility if you were to defeat Dillian Whyte, for instance, if you were to badly thrash him or something like that, that he wouldn't want an immediate rematch. And I mean, just whatever the case may be, however the fight turns out, it sounds like you're the kind of fighter and the kind of person who just wants to take on the best, period.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in boxing to become a world champion, and I worked myself to this level, and you know, I don't want to stop here. I want to be a champion, and before we got this offer to fight Dillian Whyte, we were working on a fight against Luis Ortiz, and I had said yes to that, but in the end, it seemed like they didn't want it because it stopped moving and we wouldn't hear anything. So I said yes to the fight, and then I don't know what happened, but fortunately, this fight dropped out of the sky, and we jumped on that instead.
It's a pretty good fight to drop out of the sky.
yeah, for sure. No, it did. You know, I think they were talking to Chisora and different guys, Areola and somebody else, I think. But then, you know, we got the call, and I was ready for it.
Well, you're a lot of these names that you're right alongside of are some pretty big names, whether it's in the US scene, the UK scene, whatever it is. And I guess my question would be, outside of boxing, outside of being a world champion, what is it that you like to do? What is it that you would like to accomplish outside of boxing?
Outside of boxing, I try to be a good role model with boxing. I feel like that's needed. And, you know, for kids and the youth, I feel like they need good role models.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but define a good role model. What do you think a good role model is?
Well, I would say part of it is that, you know, you don't need to have expensive clothes. You don't need to have big jewelry, and, you know, you don't have to be a gangster. You know, you can just be a nice, good human being. And that's more than enough. I think that, you know, sometimes I feel like lyrics and songs are a little off. I listen to a lot of rap music and stuff like that. But as I grow older, I feel like, you know, we need good role models. You don't have to beat each other up or kill each other or sell drugs or do drugs. You know, we gotta stand up for the kids and show them how to be good people. I think that everybody's got a responsibility. So that's sometimes I don't like with boxing, you know, fighting at weigh-ins and stuff like that. You know, it happens. It happens. And, you know, it's part of boxing, but we got to be mindful of it.
When there's trash talk, you didn't seem particularly like Tyson Fury didn't really talk too much trash at you. It seems like it's more that he talks trash at people he doesn't like and former opponents and stuff. But when there is that kind of trash talk, do you just kind of ignore it? Or are you not really, you're not participating in that stuff?
You know, I always trying to be myself, and I will always speak up for myself. And I usually like to stick to facts. And, you know, oh, he's saying this and that about me, but, you know, look at what he's done. Look what happened in that fight and this and that, you know. So I try to just be myself and stick to the facts. That usually works for me.
So life after boxing or beyond boxing, outside of boxing, like what is it that you like to do or enjoy doing?
I like, you know, I picked up golf a couple of years ago. I like golfing. You know, like my friends, family, spend time with them. Work-wise, I don't know. Maybe become a trainer. I mean, I feel like I spent so much time in boxing now, so I got good contacts. I got a lot of experience, so I feel like I could help people there. Outside of boxing, if I would do something else, I'm really not sure. I'm really not sure. But now in boxing, I got a good opportunity here to make some money and trying to invest that. So hopefully when I retire, that I have enough money invested so I don't have to do anything I don't want to. I don't think I can just retire and lay on the couch. That's really not me, but I want to have the option of doing what I want to do. And so, which I don't really know what it's right now.
Well, I guess you don't have to have a plan. I mean, the plan for right now is Dillian Whyte. So
it, right. Yeah.
That's the focus. I guess one quick question before I let you get out of here and get back to your normal routine and to your training and whatnot. Fun question, just out of curiosity. This is the kind of thing that a lot of fans like to hear, but what fighter would you say hit you the hardest?
You know, there's some guys you don't expect that just punch very hard. And there was a Danish fighter when I was living in Denmark, Mikke Nielsen. He's a cruiserweight. But we used to do a lot of sparring. He was a really big puncher. And so, you know, we sparred so much. So he hit me with a few shots every now and then. Good shots. But other than that, I would say Anthony Joshua also hits hard.
And you've been in sparring with Anthony Joshua?
Yeah. Before he fought Charles Martin, I was sparred maybe 150 rounds with him. And then we fought twice as an amateur also, where I lost decisions, but it was very good fights.
I'm sorry to keep stretching this out, but then you keep saying things that are giving me ideas. What other fighters have you sparred with, or have you been in camp with? Like, what other big fighters that people would know?
Pulev, the Bulgarian. Okay. I sparred with him. I sparred with Adam Komnatsky. We sparred a lot. Big Baby Miller, we sparred before. Zhang Shilei from China. Polish cruiserweight Globatsky, he was world champion. Who else? I'm sure there's more, but it's hard to keep track of. But that's probably the biggest names.
That's still a pretty good list of names. All right, I swear.
Yeah.
Last question. How many languages do you speak?
I speak Swedish, English, Danish, because I used to live there. It's kind of similar to Swedish, but I speak a little bit of German. It's been a long time now, so I probably forgot most of it. But if I go there, probably could pick up some, enough to get around at least.
Well, if you're dealing with the Sauerlands, I would imagine you need to a little bit of German, right?
Yeah, right.
All right, Otto, I want to wish you all the luck on October 30th against Dillian Whyte. I hope everything turns out exactly how you want it to turn out. And thank you so much for spending the time speaking with me.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening in, and tune in to all the future episodes and follow us on social media. Thanks so much.